16:21. A little of last week, so my voice is not a little bit to understand it. First Kings 21 and verse 5. Verse 5, Kings 21. Is there a card to read here this morning? We'll go ahead and read the scripture until we get that card. Verse 5 of chapter 21 of verse 10. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou not govern in the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders, and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. The men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letter which she had sent unto them. Then they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they said to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And then 2 Kings will read the end of this wicked woman. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 30. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face, and tied her head, and looked out of the window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, Had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window, and said, Who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, Throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he told her underfoot. When he was come in, he did eat and drink, and said, Go see now this cursed woman, and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. They went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, This is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, This is Jezebel. No tombstone marked her grave. There's another portion we'll read later on relative to
Jezebel in prophecy. What we've read this morning is Jezebel in history. And so you have her history given, and also God makes reference to her in prophecy. We're not going to speak on chapter 20 because there's nothing said in there about Elijah. We're taking up the times of Elijah. And there's no reference to Elijah in chapter 20. It has to do with the wars between Syria and Israel. But we'll have more to say about Elijah in some of the future chapters. Here you have this character, Jezebel. And God doesn't speak in any glowing terms of this character. She wasn't deserving of anything complimentary. Jezebel. And as we said in the ad, she might well be called a woman or human tigress or the she-devil, for she had all the marks and the traits of the devil. What is her family connection? Here you find Jezebel. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, who was king of the Sidonians. The Sidonians were heathen people. And the king was not only a king in the sense of the word that we understand him, but he also was the high priest of Baalism. And Baalism was in absolute opposition to the living and to God. All the cruelty and licentiousness that went along associated with Baal. Wherever you see idolatry making roots, wherever you see idolatry taking over, you'll always see a lot of licentiousness, immorality going along with it. Because idolatry does away with the knowledge of the living and true God, and when the true God is set aside, men do not fear sin. Thus you have wickedness, extreme wickedness, going along with idolatry. Ahab sinned against the Jewish law in marrying this wicked woman. Ahab was a Jew, and it was against God's will and God's word that one of the Jews marry one of another nation. And of all the people he should marry, it was Jezebel. And it wasn't a very happy union, I'm assuring you. Here he was, a weak and spineless man who fell for the beautiful, forceful, ambitious, cruel, and domineering woman, Jezebel. She used his power to accomplish her end, and that's not the first time in history. Time and time again, you find a strong, determined woman, and she's using her husband, who is the king, as her tool to accomplish her end. We'll have something to say about that prophetically later on. You'll find Ahab here how he embraced all her religion, showing the power she must have had over him. Here he was, brought up a Jew. He knew something of the true and the living God, yet he married this woman, and she had such influence over him, he denounced the religion of the living and true God and embraced Baalism. All he was her tool. She was no ordinary woman, I'll assure you of that. She was savage. She was relentless. She possessed none of the finer, nobler, feminine characteristics of the women that God gives place to in the Word and lauds and exalts and commends. She was just the opposite to what you see a woman should be in the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs. She was an ardent idolatress. All she thought of was to further her religion. She tried to destroy all the prophets of God. Then she established two great sanctuaries, two great colleges, where there were 450 prophets of Baal in the one and 400 in the other. She fed 400 prophets at her own royal table. And thus she's going to exterminate true religion as seen in Israel. And she's going to establish in its stead Baalism. God not Baalism. And she seems to have her own way. She seems to be making considerable success. As I said a while ago, because of immorality and every other vice began to flood the country, and idols were seen at the end of almost every street. Everywhere there was idolatry, and also every other vice that accompanies idolatry. Here you find this woman, and she is the feared commander of all Israel. Israel didn't feel Ahab. They feared Jezebel, his wife. Thus she was no woman, a woman of any ordinary character. She was a strong woman. She was corrupt, root and branch. The Bible speaks of a tree, a corrupt tree that bringeth forth corrupt fruit. If ever there was a woman that brought forth corrupt fruit, it was this woman, Jezebel. Think of some of her offspring. Athaliah was her daughter. It's very noticeable. Here is Jezebel. She's the daughter of a king. Now she's the wife of a king, Ahab. Then she gave birth to a daughter, Athaliah, and she almost rivaled her mother in wickedness. I was struck in reading some things about this woman, Athaliah, last night, and it's terrible to think of this wicked woman. A notorious murderer. And this is what I read concerning Athaliah. The horses trampled over her body where she lay dead at the gate in her miserable end. Athaliah bore a singular resemblance to her mother Jezebel, who was abandoned to the dog. Athaliah was left in a horse path to be trampled upon. Like her mother, she died a queen, but without a hand to help her or an eye to pity her. And Robert Lee says this concerning Athaliah. Her very name is an execration. She put the whole nation under the shadow of a great horror. She trampled on all feet. She violated all obligations. She lived with the shrieks of those she butchered in her ears. She lived with her hands red with the blood of the princes and princesses of Israel. She died frantic with rage, with the cry of treason on her lips. She died in the barnyard under the battle axes of an aroused people. This wicked daughter, the fruit of a wicked mother, Jezebel. And she had another son, and he also was ruled and was killed in the same spot. Her grandson was killed in the same spot. Seeing how God ministers out judgment to those who treat his people as Jezebel did. Here she comes in with a more to say about this tonight, how she maneuvered getting that vineyard out of the hand of Naboth, and how he stiffened his spine. He said, no, you'll not have this vineyard. God gave me this vineyard. I will not give it for money, neither will I trade it. But she, in her wickedness, she maneuvered how here innocent Naboth was put to death. And plain to say, she was told that, and Ahab was told that his blood would be shed right there in Jezreel. And in that plot of ground known as Naboth's vineyard, not only Ahab's blood was shed, and the dogs licked the blood washed from his chariot, but Jezebel herself fell there. Also her son, and also her grandson. All four of that wicked family perished in their blood, soaked in the earth and given to the dogs in the vineyard of Naboth. Showing this solemn truth that the spot that belongs to God and is desecrated by the devil and his children, God will avenge. There's a little spot on earth where the blood of the Son of God is shed, a place called Calvary. You either rise or fall at this spot. The word was said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, many shall rise or fall in Israel because of him. Oh, thank God for those who come to that place where Jesus died, and they repented and accepted him as their Savior, and they rose new creatures in Christ Jesus. They rose to live for him and to proclaim his name. But all the millions who have fallen there. They rejected Jesus Christ And they themselves have been rejected by none other than living God himself. That was true of Israel. That was true of Ahab and Jezebel and her son and her grandson. Now going back to Jezebel, what a character she was. She loved adornment. We read that in connection with her burial. Or did we read that portion? If we didn't, we'll read it to you now, over in 2 Kings, chapter 9 and verse 30. I think I did read that. How she loved her adorer, painted her face, and she was ready to die. Oh, so adamant. She cared nothing like Macbeth. She cared nothing about death. She was going to carry her haughty, dominant spirit right to the end. And she put her head out the window when God said to Jehu, execute Ahab and all that family. Obliterate it, wipe it out. And Jehu did. And he drove into the palace round and he looked up when he heard a feminine voice say, comest thou in peace as Omri? And he looked up and he saw her. He said, who's on my side? Who's on the Lord's side? Two eunuchs struck their heads out the window, and he said to them, throw her down. There she was in all her gaudiness, in all her pink. There she was in all her garments of the creed. She wore her lovely garments, her robes, her attire. She loved to be realized and recognized as the queen. And she died a queen. Jehu said, throw her down, and they did. And her blood splashed upon the wall of the palace. And when Jehu went into the house to eat and drink, to make merry over the destruction of this wicked, godless woman. He said, after all, she's a king's daughter. Go out and bury her. They went out and they only found pieces of her hand and her skull. So quickly had the dog devoured her, fulfilling the prophecy that a life exactly was carried out as God had declared, that dogs would eat the flesh and the blood of this wicked woman, Jezebel. She remained a queen to the end, but what an end. No sign or sense of repentance. No thought of what she had done in her life. How she had polluted Israel and turn that nation to idolatry. Even the defeat at Mount Carmel, when in the hand of Elijah her priests were slain and water descended upon the earth, it didn't seem to faze her. Oh, how determined, how set she was in her way. What a grip idolatry had upon her heart. And she lived it to the end. Her last death was the same day. All this is so foreign to what the Bible says about women that God loves and uses as their influence. Look what happened in her life. Her husband, her son and grandson died as God said they would because of their wickedness. One mind goes over to the New Testament in connection with Timothy. Paul writing to this young man, and what does he say? He speaks about that unfeigned faith that is in thee, that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Ah, yes, here is the influence of a godly grandmother, the influence of a godly mother, and the fruit of that influence, Timothy. That godly, gifted young man who stepped into the shoes of the great apostle Paul. Follow successes. This is the kind of influence that the Bible speaks of. Mothers who are godly. Mothers who are spiritual. Mothers who know Christ. And who bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I trust those who are mothers here this morning will see the awful harvest that comes to those who turn from God and bring up their children in their own wicked, ungodly ways. What a wonderful harvest comes to those who know Christ, the living God, and bring up their children in his fear. The fruit of such labor will be children saved on the way to heaven, some turning them out the instruments that God can use. Now I want to speak about Jezebel in prophecy. If you want to read it, it's over in the second chapter of Revelation and verse 20. I'm going to read it to you. Revelation 2:20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, that is the church of Thyatira, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servant to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins of man's heart, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. You see a similarity? Here is this Jezebel, a woman in the Old Testament, a queen. And here in the church, in the second chapter of Revelation, the church of Thyatira, the fourth church mentioned, the beginning of Christianity, in that church at Thyatira, a woman rises up. And her name is Jezebel. I wonder who could have given her that name. And you have the beginning of a system. And a woman symbolizes a system. You have the woman in Matthew 13, she puts the leaven in the meal. Now God's not speaking of a woman putting literal leaven in meal to corrupt you. He's speaking of a system. And today we have all kinds of false doctrine seen in leaven, and it's being mixed in with the meal of divine truth. Kind of strange, isn't it? That women are often used to do this, like Bernadette Eddy, the fox's wife. And they're using the error of false doctrine. It's leaven of false doctrine, and they're putting it into the truth of God, the meal. And they're affecting it and polluting it. But here is this Jezebel. And this woman, God warns about this woman. He says, your church is pretty good in some respects, but he says, you are permitting a system to operate in your midst. You are persistent. You are permitting a woman to propagate and use her influence to spread error among my people. And he warns them against. And this woman you see in chapter 2 of Revelation, Jezebel in the church of Thyatira, is the harlot. The mother of harlots, the scarlet woman in chapter 17 and 18, she goes back to this system that started back in the beginning of the church of history. Jezebel. Now we find it all over the world. Catholicism at the head of a great ecumenical movement. And her future is doomed. How wonderful is the word of God. God says you've got someone in your midst and she's teaching false doctrine. She calls herself a prophetess. She says she's inspired. She says she has received new revelation. How true this is. All kinds of new religions are in the world and somebody had some new revelation. And they put the revelations they get through their dreams, their so-called visions, they put them on the same platform as the Word of God. And they say, just as these things were revealed to the apostles, so God, the same God, revealed this to you. Yes, but what God, what you're saying God revealed to you, contradicts this book. But they believe what they receive is just as much inspired as the Bible, those who believe. Last chapter of Revelation speaks of those who will add to this book and pierce
is a furious God.
Yes.
Yes, she claimed to have revelation, claims to be inspired. The Son of God calls it the death of Satan. One of our young brethren, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, he read about the deep things of God over in First Corinthians chapter 2, I believe. You know, that's the only time that word is used in the original language, the deep things of God and the depths of Satan. Only time. What does it mean? Here you have the deep things of God. Who can fathom the depths of divine love? Who can fathom the depths of divine compassion? Who can fathom the depths of the judgment and wrath of God against sin? God is unfathomable. On the other hand, who can fathom the depths of the devil? How deep and dark and dangerous and gloomy are the ideas of the devil. You can't outwit him. He's just too smart. You can't whip him around the stump. I'll tell you, some people like to speak of the devil and his power. He's had too much experience. Here you have one against the other, the depths of Satan in this scarlet woman, and the depths of God through the church. And the church is the bride of Christ. Here is God speaking of two enemies. In the church you have the depths of God's love, the depths of God's wisdom, the depths of God's grace. And in this woman, Jezebel, the false church, you have the depths of Satan. The depths of his subtlety, his cruelty, and his power. There are great depths, aren't there? What depth are you going to know? The depths of God's love? Or the depths of Satan's deception and truth? And thus, she called his sense a prophet. And God says he comes from the depths of hell. The depths of sin are manifested through this little book. What a prototype to the Old Testament Jezebel you find in this woman of the early church. The Old Testament Jezebel introduced Baal worship into Israel. Who delivered Catholicism into the church? It started through Jezebel in the church of Thyatira. And again, concerning Jezebel in the Old Testament, she killed the prophets of the Lord. What does it say about this scarlet woman? Her hands are red with the blood of the prophets of the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed the blood of God's people throughout the dark ages and make their blood congeal as veins of Israel. And she claims to be a prophetess. The church says, what we say, the dogmas of our system are just as valuable as the Bible. And some even elevate them above the Bible. What a comparison between Baalism of the Old Testament as seen in Jezebel and Catholicism as we see it today. Furthermore, concerning this woman Jezebel, those she could not seduce with her doctrine she slew. And in many parts of the world, and through the dark ages, that's true, what Rome could not seduce, she slew. She had them burned with the stake. She's got to have a way. But also she used the government. Here was Jezebel. She was using Ahab, the king. She was using the political and the military to carry out her designs and force her doctrine of Baal upon the people. What do you see in Revelation? The scarlet woman riding the beast, dominating politics, dominating the military. Down the ages, if you've read church history time and time again, you find this wicked system dominating the king, dominating the emperor, because they had the final card to play. Time and time again, a man had enough courage, or a king had enough courage, to rise up and defy Rome until he came to die. And then a letter was dispatched to this man who dare rebel against the authority of Rome, that you are confined to the everlasting burnings unless you repent. And only the Pope
turn open the door to heaven. Otherwise you die accursed, anathema. And I read in church history how these men have come and they laid down their swords and bowed down and kissed the Pope's toes. And thus they escaped what he said was everlasting punishment. No, the church has no such power as that. Instead of the church, like these other sisters, killing those who oppose their doctrine, the Bible says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Christ loved them, you love them. Seek to win them, not destroy them. Here you have this system of Baalism, as it was propagated by Jezebel, and she used the authority of the throne to further her doctrine of destroying all those who opposed her. That's true of the scarlet woman in the Revelation. She stubbornly refused to repent. She said, I gave her room to repent, but she repented not. I think Rome had her chance to repent in the Reformation. When the gospel went forth over the earth, many, many, many turned to Jesus Christ from the bondage of Catholicism and all that it represents. And so, I hope you get the message today that you can be saved and delivered from your sins. And I'm not going to say everybody's associated with Catholicism. Any other system that believes in works for salvation, instead of salvation is solely in Christ, will come to the same end. That day is fast approaching, when everything will come under the skirt of the scarlet woman that's religious, and they'll suffer her doom. It's very significant that it was the enraged people, the 10 tribes, that stoned Jezebel. Or rather, destroyed Ahab and Jezebel, right in the plot of Jezebel. And it's the 10 kings in the coming world federation that turn on the scarlet woman and stamp her to death. Here you have the horses trampling Jezebel underfoot. And in Revelation you have 10 kings, and they turn against the scarlet woman, and they set her to death. They block her up. They turn on that system that has been using them as their purpose to accomplish her end. This is God in judgment. I wonder if we are ready to take in these precious truths given us in God's word. How it pays to know Christ and allow yourself to be influenced by the gospel of Christ. Instead of being influenced on how horrible it is these days to see these cults coming along and see how people's minds are affected and their lives are wrecked and ruined because they've got away from this book. The only answer is getting back to Christ and the gospel of Christ. That alone will straighten out your thinking. That alone will correct the errors in your mind and straighten out your life. It's all in Christ and Christ alone. The world has always had to choose. The world is going to have to choose today between Jesus Christ and everything that is opposed to it. The ecumenical movement is the largest attack, the most organized attack, but there are many other attacks. They're all destined to failure unless they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, Thyatira, you have tolerated this woman. She doesn't belong to Christ. You soft-pedaled her. You let her have her way. But you'll suffer for it. Today the church is soft-pedaling a lot of this junk. Well, you can't do much. They have a right to their opinion. They're right to believe what they like. That's not what the Bible teaches. Friend, I trust you know something of coming to Christ and knowing the saving power that's in Him and in Him alone. And here you have blood shed in judgment. But also that blood on Calvary was shed in judgment. The judgment of God upon sin, not the sin of Jesus Christ, the door of sin.
and life.
To the one thinks it's mercy, the other thinks it's justice. Justice, the justice of God, you see that tells us God's justice against punishing sin. He throne demands justice. Justice and judgment are the habitations of his throne, and God demands that sin be punished. God demands that the sinner die or repent and have his sins blotted out and live. What system are you influenced by this morning? Some of Satan's system, or are you influenced by the Son of God, the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself? You say, how can I be saved? You can be saved by admitting that you're lost, by admitting that you're ungodly, that you're an enemy of God, that you're a sinner and cannot save yourself. Admitting then that you're lost, admitting that you're helpless, that it's not by works of righteousness that you have done, but according to his mercy and favor. Admitting to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, that we're saved. Are you ready to admit that fact? Not by works of righteousness, not by anything I have done, my own merit, or any system or any ordinance connecting with this. It's all because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. The day he died for me, yes, all for me. O love of God, so rich, so free. O wondrous love, our heaven sing. He died for me, my Lord, my King. Lord, I'm willing to admit this morning I'm lost. I'm willing to admit this morning I'm helpless. I'm willing to admit this morning I'm ready. I'm ready to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved now. Do you? Well, you may. How? Believe God's word. You're born again by the word of God. Christ, the just one, suffered for the unjust that he might bring us to God. That's it. And if you will believe God's word, that salvation is in Christ, based upon the scriptures, and will you accept the gift? Believe God's word, accept God's gift, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then confess. What you believe. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you do that, you'll possess God's salvation. Isn't that simple? Admit your loss, admit your helplessness, admit that you're willing now to be saved, and you're going to believe God's word, you're going to accept God's Christ, you're going to confess God's Son, and you'll possess God's salvation. His wonderful salvation, so that the fools of you, is yours for the taking. Will you reach out the empty hand of faith and take it and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for making me whole. It's yours right now if you're willing to take Jesus Christ as the one who died for you upon the cross. So, our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before thee. We ask thy blessing upon thy word, there please be the holy, to the awakening and salvation of precious souls in our world. We thank thee, Father, for all who have bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And although some may not be associated, Father, with the idols of religion throughout the world, yet there's another idol they make obedience to, obedience to, and that is the idol of self. Oh, may we turn from our self, our sin, our shame, to the living God. Grant that someone may open his or her heart this morning, receive the Savior and be saved. We ask it in the worthy and precious name. Return to 242. 242. Out of my bondage, Sodom and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and night, life. Jesus, thy comforter, out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, and into thy wealth, out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, thy comforter. Soon these letters can be read tonight, and not read them right now, unless it's essential. Shall we stand and sing? 242. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into my freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee, out of my sin, that thy help, out of thy want, and into thy well. Out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee.
I'll read these now. Dear Christians of the Albany Gospel Chapel, thanks so very much for the lovely carnations they made. My stay in the hospital brighter. May our Lord's blessing reach out to each of you. Sincerely, Margie Stafford. And to the Christians of the Albany Gospel Chapel, please let me take this opportunity to thank each of you for the prayers, visits, and flowers, also the many acts of kindness shown to me during my stay in the hospital. Yours in Christ, Jean Sherry. I'm going to sing one more verse. If you have trusted the Savior and would like to make it home, we'd ask you to do so. If you say one more verse, otherwise I'll meet you.